What is today?
Wednesday, March 6th. February, or March, yeah, March 6th.
March 6th.
2019.
Yeah, Dad died 5 years ago today.
Oh, 5 years? My goodness. Whoa.
What's your mom doing?
Pretty well. All things considered?
Yeah. Well, from the ones that I am aware of that are listening to this, they're really excited. They said it's really a real benefit. And they recognize the voices, and they say this is really, it's enlightening. It's some good things are happening. I'm not in a, you know, I banged myself a few minutes ago, so I'm not in a good position to carry the football or anything here, but I got thinking about a scripture that's in this second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in demonstrations of the Spirit and in power, so that your faith would rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. Are you familiar with the scripture?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Well, anyway, I got thinking about that. And I thought most people today have come in to the wisdom of men. That's how they get into the you know, that's what they see. That's what they see. And I was blessed. In the very beginning, the first thing that happened is I saw the fallacy of the church that I was a part of. So I had no confidence in the doctrine. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what I saw was the Word of God and the power of God. And I realized a lot of people see that. And I didn't make it happen. I didn't even know it was going to happen. Just like with deliverance. I didn't know deliverance was going to come. And so God had great mercy on me. But it makes me approach it a little bit different than a lot of people. Are you following what I'm saying? I approach this thing a little bit different. Because even people that came into our church right here, Community Chapel, we came into the wisdom of men. The great wisdom of...
Amen.
Yep. Did we?
Yep. Exactly right.
And so, but that's what I came into. But you know what? I have blamed myself, and I shouldn't say this maybe publicly, but I'm going to. I am the one that introduced just about, you know, the ones from the the House of Prayer. That was the Lutheran church that we were started in. I'm the one that introduced all of these people that came out of that church. There was about 50 or 60 of them that got filled with the Holy Spirit. I introduced them to Don Burnett. Because I'm looking, at that point, I got a couple of years of college and good grades in school. I'm looking at education as the answer to our dilemma. So here's a man that is super intelligent, really knows the scriptures. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I am the one that, you know, I said, here's a man that is what we're looking for. And I was like, I did a lot of convincing, the best I could, to get people in behind Don Burnett, because I thought, here's a man that really knows what he's doing. And up to a point, that was good. We learned a lot of good things. We also learned some bad things. So, but you understand what I'm saying? Almost without exception, people walk into a church that is set up with the wisdom of men and the wisdom and the prudence of people. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I do. You know, your respect is for the church,
not for God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what God did 20 years ago or so is he's been wanting to get us away from that, the elevation of men.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We elevated the teachers. We elevated the ministers. And when Ron and Terry were here, and they wanted me to really elevate it, you know, the leadership, put them in an elevated position. And I said, I can't see it in the scriptures. That's long before I understood things that we're starting to understand. And it made him upset, because this was the thing that was building the what they call the pyramid structure out in Seattle. And that's what we have with the church. The churches have the pyramid structure. The pastor's the big shot, and God in the flesh, and that's why we have the difficulties we have. Do you follow what I'm saying? Paul said, I didn't come with the wisdom of men, with the enticing words of men's wisdom. I came with demonstration of the Spirit and in power. You know what? That is what God wants. So the first church, God confirmed his word with signs following. The whole church was with power. Words of that. Is that not what God wants? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's power. But anyway,
I can see that the foundation. It is so easy to have the foundation, your high regard for the church and the ministers and so forth.
Yeah.
So easy to have that. And to the extent that our foundation is based on regard for the Lord, mm-hmm. not the church structure, then I think you're ripe for deception when your foundation is based on respect for the church.
It's not wrong to have respect for those that God puts over the church. That's not wrong. What's wrong is for the people to elevate themselves over the church. You know, that's what the problem is. We should have respect for one another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should submit to one another. But you know what? When they had this, remember we were down there and they said that every man needs another man to answer to? I said, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because there ain't nobody that I trust that I want to answer to. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it reeked of natural thinking.
Yeah. I'm getting better in our group of trusting you guys. It's gaining momentum. It's better than anything I've ever seen. However, none of us probably would lay the thing that are the most difficult on us even in front of each other. I mean, we still wouldn't do that. And that's why.
Grant?
No, it hurts to move. That scripture, it says that no man knows a thing of man except the spirit of man that's in him. And I realized something the other day, and this is having to do with, I think I had mentioned a little bit about it on Sunday. That is why that we pray with that spirit. What will I do? When I speak with an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Why do we pray with that spirit? Because that is a spirit that God has given us that really knows us. Are you with me, or do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, amen.
God has given us that spirit, and that's a reason. And I started to recognize that, and it's a is a major, major thing.
Did I make it, Tuck?
I like you.
All right.
You're doing pretty good.
You know, so go ahead, Kirby.
Well, I was just going to comment that on one hand, I think it's very prudent to say you don't put yourself in another man's hands in terms of judgment. The flip side of that is to do exactly what Don did and say, none of you are capable of judging me, only God can. And so there's a fine line there that needs to be talked about. I don't put myself in the judgment of one man. I put myself in the judgment of all of you. I'm willing to take correction from any of you, not just one of you. And to say I won't put myself into a judgment of a man basically elevates you to the point that you don't need to take correction from anyone. Nothing in the flesh. Only my correction only comes from God. So that's exactly how the enemy drove that wedge into CC, because the leader said, you don't walk in my shoes, you have no basis to judge, and totally put a wall up around everything in the natural. And so when I hear that comment, I immediately said, well, you got to be very careful, because you don't want to put yourself in the hands of a single man. But as we do when we come together every week, or when we get together, if someone says, this is what the scriptures show me, and they're off, you want one or the group to come in and go, no, I don't think you're seeing that right. So it's just a counterpoint to the comment.
Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not a real tricky thing, but what I'm saying is there has to be a foundation built for it to work.
Yeah, you have to be judging according to the Word of God.
It has to be God's Word.
You know, I just read one little thing, and I don't know if it's been said, I'm sure it's been said before, but it was in Corinthians, and it was talking about love. Well, it says, love rejoices in truth. Mm-hmm. You may never think about love in those kind of instances, you know. It's all love is, you know, non-condemning and all forgiving and da-da-da. No. It also rejoices in the truth.
Yes.
And it other things also. You know, it isn't like it's just, if you have love, forget everything else. Well, that wouldn't be the love that's being spoken of in the Word of God, you know. Because the Word of God, love has conditions. God's love has conditions. Which a lot of people don't want to hear that, you know. No, he'll just let me go. No, he won't. Eventually, his love for the rest of the people will come into bearing, you know. Uh-huh. So I thought, you know, I know I don't have love like I should have love, but if I, to start, have a love that rejoices in the truth, I know I'm on the right path, you know. Yeah. Then I think a lot of the other love will come.
But respect will lead to love.
Yeah.
You know, going back a little bit, rewind a little bit, about the church and this whole mess with the church, and I think about it, you know, because, you know, even us 20 years ago, I was just showed up 20 years ago, but either way, you know, let's say 25 years ago, so if we look at 25 years ago, it's like, man, that was a mess, we had not much, or whatever, it was a disaster. I mean, in fact, you confessed several times, you knew that if you died at that moment, you would go to hell, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm no judge, obviously, but other churches, a lot of churches, all the glimpses I get to other churches, I don't see any truth, or I don't see an individual relationship with God's Word. I see pastors and priests and elders be mediating between God's word and the congregation, which is bad.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So see in us what happened to okay. So God have mercy. God have mercy on us. God, you heard something, or you knew something at some point. Somehow you heard something. You shared that with us. And, you know, some of us grabbed it a little later, some of us grabbed it a little earlier. Eventually, we all grabbed it, you know. It took me a while to like, you know, jump in, whatever you call it, to get with it. Otherwise, a little faster. Either way. But now, okay, so other churches, what do we do? Is there anything for us to do? Is there anything we can do about it? Or do we wait on God to do in other churches what God did to us? I often wonder. So what do we? So I can see the problem. I see it. There's a problem. So again, I'm going to repeat myself. So do we wait on God to do what God did do on them for him, for God to do on them what He did to us, or do we intervene, or do we help? What do we do? Or do we do nothing? What? Do you understand my question?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and, you know, Barb, what Barb brought on Sunday about burying your talents,
yeah,
is something we are not to do. We are
right.
To multiply them. We're not to bury them.
Right.
You know, and so now there's wisdom that's to be used in respect to that. Mm-hmm. You know, and surely it's you pick the right place and the right time. You know, and perhaps, you know, you can go off half-cocked and yeah. Not be led by the Spirit of the Lord and, you
yeah.
know, just...
And that's
you know,
the answer.
Yeah.
To as many as be led by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means He does the leading.
Yeah.
You get ahead of Him and you're screwed up.
You know, and I think if it gets so strong on your heart that you want to... then the first thing that should come is that you would be praying to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's you should be travailing in your spirit to God to lead you in the Spirit.
Yeah.
But I don't
know.
I'm not speaking.
That,
I'm not really speaking of personal. I'm not saying what should I do. I'm talking about us.
Well,
But I mean, it's like, is it our, do we be, or what is it? Do we have a responsibility? Is it our responsibility? Or maybe the church, or we should leave the churches alone. You know, and maybe our responsibility is whoever comes to us in our path. Because Jesus, one thing He did that we don't see it done in the church, Jesus, He went to a town, but people came to Him. God drew people to Him.
And that's the key.
You know what I mean? So Jesus wasn't even... the way that Jesus was led by the Spirit was actually other people coming to Him. You know? So, you know, in fact, Jesus says, you know, go to the town or whatever, but says, don't go door to door. So what do you do? You just go and stand up in the park? But pretty almost sounds like it. Send up, people will come to you, or they invite you. Somehow, somehow the picture.
When He sent them out, yeah.
Somehow the picture that I see at least, is like you just go, but somehow they will come to you.
The key is what God wants to do when He wants
right,
to do it.
Right.
And it's so hard to. I mean, you see what's going on. I get the same way, but if you don't wait for God and don't have His patience for when He wants to do it, mm-hmm. You know.
No, I know. I don't have an urge, whatever the word is. I don't have an urge of.
I mean, God knows those people are
yeah,
there,
right?
And
right.
He knows He wants to reach a certain amount of them, mm-hmm. whoever they are. So it'll get done.
It will. It will.
You know. And it might get done by us.
Mm-hmm.
It may not get done by us. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so hard to have the patience to wait on the Lord. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, I get excited, and sometimes I just want to go give some truth. But, you know, and then I stop and go, I don't think I'm ready yet. I think I'd get myself in trouble and probably offend or do something. And, you know, I want to go with the anointing of the Lord. And but if that's the desire of our heart and we're praying that, He'll bring it about. Mm-hmm. You know?
And even when you're 82, you wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
still wait.
I mean, I've thought of this quite a few times. Keith, who was always in the past, in his walk, was evangelizing, you know. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, you know, but he's not going out. And he hasn't been going out for a long time trying to put this on anybody, you know, necessarily. I mean, I've had a couple instances. You've had instances where God allowed, made the moment to share. Corky has, Charlie has. We've all had where God has put us in the place to share. Just hadn't been a lot. But it's maybe a, you know, just a growing thing or whatever, yeah, you know.
We don't have to, we really don't have to get in a big hurry.
No, because God can do it in a day.
We're doing what God said to do. He said, blessed is the man whose delight is in my word. And on this word does he meditate day and night. Okay, that's what you do.
See, part of the trap we can fall in is saying, well, Jesus did it this way. We got to do it this way. Or the disciples did it this way. Well, you can't just say, okay, then, because that's what people have been doing. Okay, then, well, you need to go, because that's what they did. We need to go and evangelize the world. They went when they got told by the Lord and got anointed, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and then God sent them out.
Right. Confirm the word with signs following.
And, right.
You don't even need to hear a voice. No. You just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of things. One thing that I realized just recently is like, even the brothers of Jesus, it took them 3+ years for them to become believers. This right. is through Jesus.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Right.
This is through Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, remember the passage where God spoke through the clouds and some heard thunder or some whatever. Some heard a voice. And now we've been given something, you know. We've been really given. We've been given talents. We have, and I'm not boasting. I mean, we actually have been given talents.
Yes, we have.
Now, I wonder. Now, God hasn't been given talents only the last 20 years. He's been always given talents. Mm-hmm. I wonder if in our past life, not in the past life, but in our past, let's say 40 years ago, somebody came to you or to somebody and presented what we are presenting now, and we heard thunder. You know what I mean? It had to be. You know what I mean? But it took us this many years for clicking. There's no way that these talents are just being given right now. There's just no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just that we have been receiving these talents from other people since we knew that God existed, and then all of a sudden, years later, we are realizing that when you open the bag, there's talents in there. We just never realized that we had to open the bag. You know what I mean? And so now, so we also the same way, we need to be aware that when we show people our talents, it can take him a while. You know what I mean? In fact, likely it will take him a while. You know what I mean?
Of course, the Lord can do mighty funny in a short time.
Oh, when, yes.
You know.
Yes.
But yes. You know that. I know that. It is such a tough nut. I imagine that the servant who dug a hole and put his talents in the ground was, you know, transferring to the situation. just waiting to hear from the Lord as to what he should be doing. You know, I can conceive that there'd be some truth to that. Now, that's not to say that, well, obviously that it's wrong to wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a bad conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, because his, it's kind of like his whole heart wasn't right.
Well, but yes, yeah, he seemed nervous about the, you're right. But I think there is a risk.
Understandable. It is, you know, God to the, you know, it is the Father. It is a comparison.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the king or whatever is God, and we are the best people with the talent.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a comparison.
Right.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. I think you.
Wash your hands.
Are you done?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think you kind of hit on it earlier. Because you used us as example, which is really good. So, what if someone came to us many years ago and tried to tell us Jesus was a man?
Well, actually, kind of, someone did.
Thank you. And we received it not.
Right. Well, we were a little uneven on our receiving.
Well, we certainly didn't endorse it. It never came from the pulpit.
Yeah.
It did not become doctrine.
Right.
And right now we would say unequivocally, without a moment's hesitation, that was truth.
Right.
So to Pablo's point, so God has truth. If someone tries to bring truth to someone who's not ready for it, what do they do with it? They reject it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more learned they think they are, the more ferociously they are going to stand their ground and say,
"Nope,
I don't see it.
My Bible. It's all right. I can just not do
it." But that is the crux. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when
there might have been some value of Brad Mettler in doing what he did. He planted the seed.
I received it.
Took a while to
bring the seed. Didn't have the depth of
papers in there. Don't worry about it.
You know.
Yeah, it certainly, mean, and it is certainly true.
And it was like it didn't get built on because it wasn't time, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That,
but legitimate.
I'm not saying you didn't receive it. The way I interpret that is it wasn't embraced, so a statement was made and everybody went, huh. And then we all moved on to the more important things.
It is true that we didn't.
I mean, we there was like, we were zipping right along the spiritual highway. We saw that, looked off to the billboard, and kept going at 120 miles an hour in the direction we were going, which was not good. And so,
he
brought that after the movie.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
I didn't. Yep. So I don't think so.
I think it was.
I don't know.
Towards the end.
Or even in the middle. It did something. My point is that it didn't stick. But to get back to what Pablo was bringing. Was the question is when do you know? Now it's interesting because when God told you, Keith, to find me where I am, you had zero doubt that God was talking to you.
Oh yeah,
or an angel.
And you didn't let up on it either.
And when that happened,
my annoyance.
And when that and you stuck to it too. So, but I mean, to your point, Pablo, it's kind of like. And this is a dilemma I have. You know, if someone comes to me and asks me a question, I take that as that's the opening God is presenting to me, and I have to kind of step into that. But I don't, like, go around and knock down on UPC's doors on Sunday at 10 o'clock going,
no.
You people, get with the program.
Right.
You know, you're listening to him, you're wrong. This is what you need, you know, because then, you know, first off, they're probably never going to listen to you again because they're going to label you. And it probably wasn't God's leading. Well, if God tells you to do that, then the chips fall where they may. Boy, I'd be really, you know, I'd be throwing a lot of fleeces on. I'd make God prove it to me, which isn't very scriptural. But I would say, you know, before I do this, I'd like to see a couple mountains move, a couple other people hear some thunder. I, you know, it's got to be big time without a shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going to go, I'm not sure I'm hearing from the true God.
What about when he wants to speak to you in a quiet voice, though, my man?
I'm with you. I'm telling you. I see this conflict within me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like...
No, I'd like it to be undeniably spiritual.
Yeah, my faith in this is like this small.
Yes, I'm with you there.
It's like,
I will say this, in just assessing my own response. Perhaps I am wise in keeping my own counsel on this deal. One thing I do fail to do, though, is to seek the Lord in prayer and ask Him to please open up opportunity to bring this truth to those who would receive it. Please do that, Lord. Make it open the... open the gate. I don't do that. And I should. If this is a truth that is so important to Christians, and it is, that should be my earnest prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Okay. I'm going to throw a little thing in here about what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
In the past. So when he wanted to rescue his people out of Egypt, right? He did.
Mm-hmm.
But then they went 40 years in the wilderness. Well, then it says, now for a time of 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So they weren't satisfied with just being connected to God. And so God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. Then he gave them David. And then there were, it was a good time. It was a time of the Lord, and they flourished. I don't want to put a big deal on 40, but it's funny. 40 gets used a lot in the Scripture. But the fact is, it wasn't overnight. It wasn't 2 weeks. It wasn't a couple months. It wasn't a couple years. It was a stretch of time before he would bring them out of what they were in,
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know for sure with that, but that caught my spirit a little today.
And it may very well be that if I were to be, it would take the Spirit of the Lord prompting me to be praying the earnest prayer.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too.
Yeah,
I think he'll do that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's funny that there's this focus on 40 years, because at the end of this month I will have been saved for 40 years. I will have been in this church for 40 years.
Yeah. Maybe it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, right.
Did we get that plaque order?
In a particular case, God did it.
God did
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I almost feel like God wants to, I can do it. It's like, see that mess over there? I'll fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is also a good thing for us, because then we don't boast, and we don't feel like
that's
we have anything.
Yeah.
And we are just to rejoice, and when he does it over there, we'll get together and do this. Not always, not all the time, and not only like that, but why not?
If we take it on faith that God's in control and He's going to do it, a counter comment to what you said, I think it is probably, if you're in the place, you should be praying earnestly, Lord, if now's the time and now you want me to go, I'll go. The flip side of that is the Lord knows when it's time and He doesn't really need you. So you're showing a condition of the heart. On the other hand, if when God wants to move, He's going to move.
What is the point of the parable of the king giving talents to his servants then, though?
Well,
right. Also.
Yeah.
Also, yes. So yes to the one and yes to the other. You know. So,
yeah, right. You're right.
Yes to both.
It is an odd combination.
Yeah.
Have you got to wait for the moving of the Spirit of the Lord? But then there's that parable.
And he kind of comes back and says, "Well, silly servant, why wouldn't you have known that I wasn't wanting you to bury this in the ground, but to do something with it?"
Right.
So if you take it in that context, it's like,
and this
okay.
This is very interesting.
Yeah.
So this is the guy that buried it. He said, and I see a parallel from the master to God. I mean, I don't see it any other way. He said, okay, and I can say, Master, here's your mina, your mina, whatever.
Mina,
which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I fear you, because you are an austere man. You collect which you collect what you did not deposit. It's just not right, you know. But which you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. I mean, that's almost like a crook, you know. But that's God's. I mean, God, you know. Hey, he doesn't like that. Okay, flat the earth. You know what I mean? He does whatever he wants. You know, so God, he's got his thing, but he's going to do it. He's going to do whatever. He feared him. Says, and of course, it was a wrong thing to bury it. He says, I buried it because I know you're an austere man and that you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. You know? So, I don't know. God is, I don't want to say that he says one thing and does another one, but he says one thing and then he also says something else, mm-hmm. which they all agree still. You know, and I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, so, look at the ones that God came and he spoke to them and said, do this.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. I can't. Instead of going, yes, okay, I heard from the Lord. Wham! You know.
Yeah.
They right. still, yeah. you know,
oh,
even
gone. Yeah.
Sorry, you, know, like, oh. you may even get it that clear, and you might shrink back. You know, because then all of a sudden you realize it is God, and then you go, "How inadequate I am!" You know,
full of horses.
Yeah, right.
I need a wingman.
You know, in the same train of thought, you know, Koki, you were saying, "Wow, I gotta see it. I move the mountain and all that stuff." But I'm gonna like bring another scripture into there that is kind of twisted. I'm gonna just shove it in there.
So you're gonna make it fit. I'm
gonna jump it in pretty good.
All right.
He says, you know what? If they're not persuaded by this guy's raising from the dead, neither they will believe Moses or however it's not. If they're not persuaded by Moses, neither they will be persuaded by somebody coming from the dead. It's kind of the same thing, eh? I told you a little quiet voice. Hey, you can see the mountain going from here to there. It's no difference. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like, you know, as Jesus said, if this doesn't convince him, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. And in all honesty, for me, I mean, with what God has given me, I shouldn't need a mountain.
Right.
If I'm truly open to what God's got, as you said, a clear, still voice should be like, but okay.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably, I don't know, maybe in this end he won't require this, but it seems like in a lot of instances in the past, you have to fail before you succeed.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he may not do it that way this time. He may just put the unction on you so strong that you just go out and do exactly what he wants and he gets his effect he wants. You know, I don't know. You don't know.
Okay, so the guy was given some talents and he buried them.
Mm-hmm.
He sat on them. He didn't do nothing with it. So if God gives you a gift and you don't do nothing with it and you sat on it, that's basic about what it's saying.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yes.
If you're given a gift from God and you don't do anything with it, you don't get nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah,
so, that's
right. I kind of like what's going on in our church right now.
I'm not being quite fair, but
But see, well, it seems like in, right, but, right. See, in the parable, right, they were
been given a gift of the, some truth, and you're accepting it and growing with it. Mm-hmm. And if you've been fair given enough the gift of the Holy yeah Spirit and you're using it by speaking mm-hmm in tongues to edify mm-hmm yourself, you're, you know.
That's true.
I'm
being a little.
Yeah, yeah, but.
Yeah, but no, fair enough.
Yep.
In this parable, okay, so the master gives a talent, he goes, then he comes back. So we are in the, and I would say that we are right now where he's still gone. He's not on a point to start to make take count, you know, to mm-hmm make an accounting, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because obviously, even with Jesus, if he would have come back to Jesus the day after he got baptized, it would not work, you know.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough. Even today, Jesus is doing a work. Yeah,
of course, to say that the doubling and the and so yes forth isn't right coming up quite soon.
Exactly, exactly. We don't know the fruit. We don't really.
We don't know.
We don't know exactly what the fruit is.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, one thing. Let me make the point, though. That you know, they talk about salesmen having good product to sell and bad product to sell. We have a very product that ought to be selling itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting it in, you know, the natural words, but natural terms. But, you know, it ought to be pretty darn self-evident that Jesus was a man. And to have someone, now we've got 2,000 years or whatever of the other doctrine, but granted, but there ought to be at least some folks out there that said, yes, yes, that is so true. That is so true. That, you know, and without a really good salesman throwing an excellent pitch, you know, the product ought to sell itself.
Mm-hmm. But Charlie, we are. Everybody that listens to these tapes, we're selling them. We're selling it to them. And I don't like the word sell. I have a thing against salesmen because all they do is try to sell you something you don't want.
Right.
You know? But, yeah. But we are actually doing that.
I guess.
Even though that we're not physically going out, mm-hmm, but the words are going out. You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in today's time and age, you can't control history like you used to be able to. I mean, today, it can get out there and it's worldwide.
Goes viral
instantly.
Yeah, right.
Whereas there could have been a pocket of people that have beliefs just like we did in the 1850s in a certain state or a certain country, but it would have gotten drowned out by the organizations, the large denominations, and it just, there's a bunch of wackos over here in the world, you know. Today, as you say, you know, you can get that message out there and it can get out there and, mm-hmm, and they're. And so maybe that's how God is going to use, as we've evolved, use the truth. And it's not going to be being suppressed by denominations like it was in the past, and it'll just, it'll gain. I mean, my own experience is that there's a lot of people who are just fed up with churches. Because you can kind of take your aim and any particular denomination or doctrine you want, and you go, but they're wrong in this, and they're wrong in this, and they're wrong in this, and so, and you get left with people who go, I can find fault with all of that, and all they're left with is, well, you're left with the Bible, and if you really just stick with the Bible and stay at it, you come into truth, which is basically the truth that we have, which is, you know, we don't believe anything that's not in here, and we don't try and elevate a man into a position. You know, God's our judge. And people hear that unfiltered now, and they can. I mean, it's, to your point before, God can do things really quick. Mm-hmm. It can happen really fast.
Sure.
Did you see the picture in Facebook where it showed the church? And it said, this is a church. And then below it, there was a picture of a bunch of guys, follow this number here, all stood together praying and say, this is a church, not the building.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. I thought that was
That's good.
Putting it right to the point, you know. Uh-huh.
I'm impressed. You're on Facebook.
I don't go out on it. I just read it.
He's a lurker.
Yeah.
AKA lurker.
I'm a peeker. Oh, maybe that wasn't a good word.
Well,
sorry about
yeah,
that.
Go back with lurker, yeah.
One of the biggest mistakes we make is looking at ourselves as a sum total of whatever's going on.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a big mistake. Because God has, you know, he's called us, but he's also called, he's got his own, other ones he's called.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but the disciples asked Jesus about the Pharisees. And I can't remember what it was, and here's what he said. He said, every plant that the Father, he said, leave them alone. He said, every plant that the Father has not planted. He's talking about the Pharisees. God never planted them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Thinking of the
parable. Ever seen that?
The tares?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it had to do with the Pharisees, too. There was something about the Pharisees. Every plant that the Father did not plant. You know?
You know, I've also been thinking some about your going down to Chile and seeing people that you knew back then. And it wasn't like you were evangelizing in any kind of way. But nonetheless, you believed that a good work was being done.
Did you find the scripture that says that?
You know, just the presentation of yourself in that situation and whatever,
mm-hmm.
you think that the message was conveyed that, hey, something really good is going on with mm-hmm. Pombo
yep.
here.
Yep.
Without evangelizing in the traditional sense.
Right. And so, yeah. I have just your word to go on.
Right.
No, Bob Buckhead. But I the reason why I mentioned this is because it really kind of resonated.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There is a kind of
evangelizing
that can occur in that way, and maybe in some ways it's more effective than more overt. You
right.
know, hey, they know where you stand.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. right.
You know. So perhaps, like Glenn was saying, that is something other than burying your talents.
Right.
That is
mm-hmm.
multiplying them, or
right.
you know, or at least taking steps toward multiplying those talents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matthew 15:13. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted."
But he's talking about the Pharisees, isn't he?
Well, I didn't expand the whole thing. I found the three.
Oh.
But I'm if you say so. I'll look.
Well,
15:13.
Well, let me read 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Then he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." So the context of it is the Pharisees.
Is
the
yeah.
Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind.
Is that kind of scary, isn't it?
Yep.
We got a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm. But so you kick this off by saying, you know, when do we go?
I was just curious where if we had a role or not. And
oh.
I know I'm not really, like I said, I don't have an urge or one. I'm just curious, is there, where are we at? Where are we going? I don't know.
I think that, you know, for months we used to ask the question, this is a pretty big thing. You know, when is God... You know, what does God want us to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we kind of kept asking that without really an answer. And finally we said, well, whatever he wants, he'll let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started getting kind of the revelation of patience. And impatience is so anti-natural. It's just against the flesh.
It's against our nature.
It is just against our nature. It's like, you want me to do what? After I worked really hard to do this, and you want me to do, I just want you to stand there until I tell you to do something. That's not why I dug the ditch.
And after you've done everything you can do, it's still only your reasonable service.
Yeah.
Where we go is not up to us.
No.
It's where God wants us to go and follow what He wants us to do.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and there's probably going to be a lot of people, they're going to grasp this at first, and because of the way the whole culture now, basically, of the world is, I got to get it, and I got to get it now. And there's a lot of them that are going to go way ahead.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose it.
Well, that's like the parable of the sower.
Today, more than ever, to be patient is harder because everything's fast. Mm-hmm. Go, 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 me, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not the way the world works these days.
Yeah. You know, a similar, in this kind of in the same context, but not the same fruit, but there's a similar, John the Baptist, I think he says, because now we're talking about the talents and that's the truth that we give, but also the fruit in ourselves. And this is, I think, I'm pretty sure it's John the Baptist speaking, or if not, it's John the disciple. Either way, he says, and even now the axe is laid upon the root of the tree, and whatever fruit does not bear good fruit, it will be chopped down, and I don't know what else. But
be thrown in the lake of fire.
Some. That's kind of, you know, kind of like walking around with a paddle. You know what I mean? A little bit. If the axe is laying right next to the tree, good or bad. You know, now if you bear good fruit, you're good. But if you have no good fruit, you're going to be chopped down. You know, so in a way, it's like we almost like we need to, I don't want to say step on, walk on eggshells, but we need to also do our best somehow, even though it's all God's work, to bear good fruit.
And to work out our salvation.
Yes, right. Right.
I think that's so. Now, I am not 100% sure that we should take the words of John the Baptist and consider them God's heart.
I'm not sure if it's John the Baptist who said
there might be. Well, I thought he was, though. He certainly had a ministry.
Yeah.
That, you know, I guess he prepared the way of the Lord, but when the Lord came, he was to be sidelined. In fact, he said so himself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And but I think he might have quoted that.
Probably.
While he was.
Could be,
perhaps, yeah.
It was an Old Testament message that he was expressing in a New Testament age, or the dawning of
Supposedly the New Testament starts, you know, at the baptism of Jesus, kind of, you know, everything else is like a pre, the law and the prophets were until John, basically.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that's even though the speaking about it is still in the God, in the New Testament.
Right.
You know, John is kind of is like the bridge or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that what I said is true, but I throw it out there.
See who bites.
Matthew 7:19.
Oh,
it wasn't John.
I
think. What came up first?
Why did I think it was in John?
I don't know, but it's in the Gospel too, which is also.
I thought that perhaps, when he confronted Herod about marrying.
Oh, that's a little different setting than the one Pablo was saying.
It's different.
No, Acts, if you just type Acts and tree, you should
A-X-E, Acts.
It does say every tree that does not bear good fruit
Luke
is cut down.
Luke 3:9, I think, might be the one you were referring to. The axe is already at the root of the tree.
Yeah, that's the one. Who's saying it?
I'm not there yet.
Oh,
but it doesn't show that it's in the Old Testament, does it?
No, it's Matthew and Luke.
What was it? Luke
3:9.
Well, they're in the Gospels already. It's just whether or not it's a new covenant message versus an old covenant.
Brood of vipers. So I'm going to go back because that's that's John.
Yeah.
He said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers!" And then it. And now even the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which is not fair will cut down, thrown in the fire. So, what shall we do then?
You know, we do know, okay, John the Baptist, there's no greater in the kingdom of heaven than blah, 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 John the Baptist. So, I mean, there's got to be some...
Yeah, there's some merit to it, I mean.
Well, but then, and then it says...
But he who is least...
Least, right. No, yeah.
Greater than John the Baptist.
Yeah, it says he who is least in the kingdom...
I think we're mixing two different things.
No, I don't think
no, it's referring to John's ministry on earth was no greater, but it says, but the least in the kingdom is greater than him.
Okay.
That's already made it.
That's an interesting concept that in that part, you know.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
no greater than John the Baptist.
Was, yeah.
However, the least in the ministry.
Never Jesus saying that.
Jesus is saying, up to this point, there has been none more important.
Right, right.
Because he was basically providing the gateway to launch Jesus' ministry, who then became the way.
Yeah, and the way is greater than.
And then, of course, the flip is everybody who makes it.
Yeah,
it's better than John, who was the one who enabled it, who kicked it off.
Right,
because you're getting the fruit of it. You're getting the end result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there was a lot of things. I mean, they talked about how even in the wombs, you know,
John the Baptist,
you know,
kicked.
When filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
The
so it was like so. But so, although I think what you were pointing out was, you know, which John is this, and we have to be careful because what John the Baptist says isn't exactly the same as what John or what Jesus is saying.
Mm.
I think
it's
a fair.
I may have been talking off the top of my head real quick,
I think your point was valid. I mean,
maybe not. I don't know. No.
Well, no, I kind of. I mean, I can see where you're coming from a little.
Yeah.
One of the denominations, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. They made John the Baptist the end result.
Oh, yeah, right.
To be baptized, and that's as far as they went.
Yeah, right. Right. Which is.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was the doorman. He opened up the door.
Yeah.
Well, when that's done, you're done.
Exit stage left.
Right, stage left.
Kind of like Joseph.
You know, and it's. Yeah,
kind of like Joseph.
Yeah.
You're done.
Right.
And then, you know,
your significance in this story is now.
There's the one that bothers me is like, what is the one that says, you're a guest? Or no, you're the bridegroom's.
Friend of the bridegroom?
Friend of the bridegroom. And I've been thinking for quite a long time, I don't want to be just the friend of the bridegroom. Because it makes it look like they don't go in necessarily, you know.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. We'd have to read where that setting is. But if you look at it, it's like, well, if that's all I'm going to be is a friend of the bridegroom, and that's what you make me. That's fine. But my heart would be to be the bride of the group, you know, rather than the friend of the bridegroom.
Yeah.
Be the bride of the groom.
Yeah, where's that?
3:29.
What?
John 3:29.
3:29. Okay. Boy, you got one handy smartphone there.
Yeah, I got that app, but as long as you're doing it, there's no sense to doing it. But you're used to it. You're getting very proficient at that. Your gift.
Mm-hmm. I can four words together. Keith, he can quote about 70,000 scriptures.
That's your ministry.
Yeah, my ministry is four words. It's about right, and I'm not sure I can handle that.
Oh, sure. See, because that's referring to John a little bit.
Yeah, it is referring to John.
Yeah, the Baptist.
Yeah, he that's the bride is the bridegroom.
Yeah.
Friend of the bride. Stand as the Bible. Rejoice greatly.
because of the bridegroom's voice, therefore this commandment is fulfilled. He must increase.
He must increase. I must decrease. So, because he was merely the friend of the bridegroom. He that cometh from above is above all.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is John the Baptist understanding exactly
what his role was.
Well, and even to that point when Jesus came, you know, to fulfill Scripture, to be baptized by John, and John the Baptist, and he goes, "What are you doing?" You know, because in a way, from his perspective, he could have viewed that as, "This is blasphemy. This is impacting my ability to go on." And Jesus kind of said, "Let it be." You know, he kind of basically said, "Do not worry about this."
And I wonder why.
Why
do you suppose Jesus said, "It's fulfilling all righteousness for me to be baptized"? Baptism is, after all, to be cleansed of sin.
Well, I think he wanted to make sure that he wasn't putting himself above anybody.
Because he was acknowledging his, you know, humanity, who he was and who Jesus was, and was saying it's wrong of me. It's wrong.
Well, understand John saying what he did. What I don't understand is what Jesus said. Well, no, go ahead and do it. It fulfills all righteousness that it be done. I wonder what there was about Jesus' baptism that it did prompt the beginning of his ministry, certainly.
Yeah. You know? Well, it says he was like us and that he was tempted in all like manners, so I suppose to be like us, he needed to be baptized also to make it all right. Righteousness, right, you know?
Jesus was a man being baptized by a man.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I think what your question is,
there's more to it.
Why would he need to be baptized when he wasn't a sinner? Right.
I
know. I mean, that's the part that I've thought of too, but it's like, well, he must have felt that just made it a complete cycle. So no one could,
thus it fulfills all righteousness. I wonder what exactly that means.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I hadn't thought about it a whole lot till now, but it just sort of felt like this was expeditious. It's kind of, we kind of have to do this because it's
appropriate, right? Well, yeah, but it fulfills all righteousness. Sounds like a bigger deal than that.
Yeah, I remember where that is because I'm searching on it. I couldn't say John Baptist baptizing Jesus.
Okay, what is it?
Where does it say where John Jesus said, responds to John the Baptist? It's okay to it's okay for me to baptize you. It's okay for you to baptize me.
Well, at the beginning of some gospel, you got red letters. Just go, you know, look through all your gospels and
there it is.
I think I ran across it when we were looking for something else.
I had to read it, Matthew.
Well, Matthew 3:15.
Well, Matthew, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first red letters in Matthew.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
Us.
Yeah.
Okay, that is suggesting appropriateness.
I wonder if it has something going back here to 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I mean, maybe that's what he was. I don't know.
Well, that was John the Baptist saying, "I know who I am and I know who Jesus is."
I guess that is John speaking. He's saying who. Jesus,
for
yes.
Thus has become with us to fulfill.
To fulfill all righteousness, then he allowed him.
when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him.
Yeah, Spirit of the Lord came.
Yeah.
Lighted on it, so it was a good thing it happened.
Right.
Maybe in this sense.
Because baptism is also this type of being born again, you know, going into the grave, and like Jesus did, was raised again.
Perhaps.
You die to yourself, and then you're raised up a new creature in Christ.
So that element of baptism was the thing that was...
It was probably a fulfillment
of all righteousness. Yeah.
Ahead of time for when he would die and be resurrected.
I don't know. But it is true that his ministry kicked off at that point.
Right.
And then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him upon baptism. So that...
It's a place that I keep running across. I don't even know that I can put everything together. But some place in the New Testament, towards the end, there's a place that... And I could be like just... hallucinating, but they compare the flood to baptism. Am or am I off? Do I got some?
The
typo. Who used that to water?
Yeah, that was a reference when he flooded the earth and it only saved a few.
But it speaks about like the flood as a typo of baptism.
I don't recall it. Do you remember, Keith? In which there is an equating of the flood with baptism?
Isn't it a New Testament someplace?
Yeah, there's something about that.
I'm thinking it's in Peter, but I'm not positive.
I was looking up Matthew 3:15, some of the other translations, see if we could get maybe a little different slant on
Peter.
Maybe it's in Hebrews, where they were all baptized into the oh no, maybe they're baptized into the sea. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
On Peter 3:20.
First or second Peter?
First Peter.
Okay, Corky, you were...
Well, I was just going to... There's a couple different things, but it was interesting. They're all close to King James, you know, which says, "And Jesus said unto him, Suffer to be so now, for thus... it becomes for us to fill all righteousness, and he suffered in him." But, you know, some of the other NIV goes, "Let it be so now, it is proper for us to do this, to fill all righteousness."
Yeah.
A New Living Translation says, "But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him.
Yeah.
So it's fulfilling of righteousness.
All that God requires.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, in a way, that was true too.
Uh-huh.
Contemporary English version said, "And Jesus answered, for now this is how it should be, because we must do all God wants us to do." It's very similar.
Okay.
But I found that interesting. Just a different way of saying all righteousness, which I guess is another way of saying God.
That's what God wants.
Yeah, righteousness
there's
of God.
There's a thing in parenthesis in here that it almost seems like it gives you a definition of a baptism, but not really. I'm just going to read it. It says, okay, this is 1 Peter 3:21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, in parenthesis, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, maybe his baptism was just the answer of a good conscience towards God.
Interesting, yeah.
It's a good way to tie it in.
But you're right. Just before that, in 1 Peter 3:20, he is talking about the flood, Noah, where 8 souls were saved by water.
There you go.
And then it goes on to say, even baptism now saves us. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that Pablo, he listens to the Bible all day long while he's working. I may not pay attention to it all. But I think he picks up some of this stuff.
Yeah, I had to become an assembly. Yeah, I don't even know
if that answers what you had asked.
Yeah, I don't know. I just keep listening, and stupidly, I'm just, I don't know, stupid. I need to stop listening to myself.
Well, I think maybe you don't despise what you do, Pablo.
Yeah.
Don't despise it.
I was telling my mom it's something different. She's like, she was just questioning a couple of things. Said, you know, mom, just don't listen to myself. Just don't listen to me. You know, I gotta not listen to me either.
Well, it is possible if you think too much.
Yeah.
You're gonna make a mistake.
It's right.
Yeah.
Very possible.
You start putting your intellect in and you're done.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you don't question, how do you move forward?
Yeah.
The dilemma, right?
I just have this false, I don't know what the word, expectancy. You know what I mean? It's like, I have this expectancy. Okay, well, I'm listening to the scriptures, so I should have like 3 revelations a week, and I should, raise 10 people from the dead a year. Not really, but I just have a silly example. You know, I have this expectancy. What I do know is that, you know, the word of God does not return void. You know what I mean?
Right.
I do know that. You know what I mean? And I know so many other things, but so
that's faith.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, it's, you know, we have to keep reminding ourselves that it'll come.
Yeah.
You get it when you want it, when you need it, you'll get it. You know, it's.
But, you know, in the Psalms, it talks about just as the deer pants after the water, you know, has a high, high level of thirst. In that same way, we're seeking you or seeking the word or whatever. And, you know, associated with that is a certain frustration that you don't have the water right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so I don't know that the fact that there is a kind of, you know, you're expecting more than what you're getting or a frustration or whatever. Maybe that's in line with what the Lord would have. You know? You know,
which in return, it doesn't discourage me from listening. It kind of keeps me wanting to keep listening. You know what I mean? So it's still all good.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I heard a interesting thing on something that Chuck was watching here the other day. Now, I'm not an advocate of Confucius, but Confucius made a statement that I thought was pretty profound. He says, whenever anybody says he had all the answers, it only means he hasn't heard all the questions.
Right.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's pretty true.
Yeah.
Well, I love you guys. God bless you.
You want us to do that?
You want this?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just make you turn it off.
Well, we don't know how to do it. Do you know?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll do. I'll praise.